For KUOW, I'm Emily Fox. Our City of Dreams series is exploring how and why Seattle has supported innovators and how their ideas have shaped the city's identity. And we can't talk about the city without talking about the original people and its namesake, Chief Seattle. Or as the Duwamish pronounced it,
Seattle. And it's like, it sounds...
Say that one more time.
Seattle. Seattle.
Historian David Berge has been working on his new book, Chief Seattle and the Town That Took His Name, for the last 20 years. He's the man the chair of the Duwamish tribe trusts to tell their story. Berge says Chief Seattle's greatest legacy is encouraging his Duwamish family members to intermarry with the white settlers. It laid the foundation for Seattle's progressive roots and helped create peace among his potential rivals.
As soon as you marry people, they become kin, and then the kin etiquette takes over, and you invite them to celebrations, you sing, you dance together, and eventually you develop amicable relations.
Tribes had been intermarrying for this same reason for a long time, but it was rare for a chief to be so enthusiastic about intermarrying with settlers.
The rigor with which he invited Americans in and sought to make them part of his people, to intermarry, that was unique. And that was innovative. And no other Native leader employed such energy to do this as Seattle did.
For example, Seattle brought up an entrepreneur from Olympia by doing something that would be incredibly controversial today.
Offering his granddaughter as a sweetener to the deal.
That man ended up opening the first general store in Seattle and named it after the chief. And Seattle's brother, known as Chief Curley, was close with Henry Yesler. That's the guy streets and buildings in the city are named after today. Yesler ran the town's first industry, a sawmill, and Chief Curley married his daughter off to Yesler.
It was some sort of union. Of course, it couldn't have been a real marriage because he was already married.
That's Kathy Zetterberg. She's the great-great-great-granddaughter of Chief Curley. She says Yesler's first wife, Sarah, was back at home in Ohio when Yesler was with his Duwamish partner.
He was kind of a different type of thinker, I think. He was kind of open to free love at the time, I think.
And his first wife, Sarah, apparently was too. It's documented that she had, quote, formed a passionate attachment to at least one other woman. So yeah, if that's not free love in the 1800s, I do not know what is. Well, Sarah ended up moving to Seattle. By the time she arrived, Yesler had a daughter with his Duwamish partner. They named their daughter Julia. Julia is Zetterberg's great-grandmother.
The way I like to interpret it is that she was a well-known secret.
Zetterberg says Yesler took care of Julia and put her through school once his first wife, Sarah, arrived. But Julia didn't show up as Yesler's daughter on the census. Instead, she was labeled as a house servant.
Gave me a little bit of a queasy feeling.
Zetterberg says in another census, Julia was listed as HB, or half-breed.
There was definitely a racial thing going on.
Despite some of those tensions, historian David Berge says the city wouldn't be what it is today without those intermarriages.
So I see Seattle as a cultural leader as well as an historical leader. It's more than tolerance. It was a genuine embrace of newness and difference. And I think that's about as good a model as any city could have.
I'm Emily Fox, KUOW News.